Your Locked On NHL, your daily podcast on the National Hockey League. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, everybody, welcome to Locked On NHL. I am your co-host from Locked On Avalanche, Chris Maselli. With me each and every Thursday from here on out, we have secured the Thursday time slot. Adam Denker from Locked On Lightning is here with me. Adam, how are you today, sir?
Doing great. Doing absolutely great. It's going to be our first NHL season on the national show, officially. They can't get rid of us.
The masses determined that they can't get rid of us. So, and the masses were pretty much you and I. But so we should preface this by saying, like, just because of schedules, we recorded this earlier in the week and not after Wednesday's games. And Wednesday's games played a part as to why we recorded earlier in the week, because your team is playing, right?
Yeah.
And my team is playing. So it's game one. And, you know, the way that the season's going, like, we have to set aside time to watch those games. So,
yeah, we have a banner ceremony to get to. So
the banner that nobody cares about, seemingly, like, is that the... weren't you like kind of like, and you were right, you were kind of complaining about that, rightly so, early in the year, that they were just not getting the love that a Stanley Cup team should get.
And because everybody was like, well, you know what, they didn't have to play in front of fans and all this and that, and now they're gonna have like the most depressing championship like defense probably in sports history, probably. So I mean, until the fans come in, obviously, right. But which I fully expect them to do some sort of thing once they get some butts in seats,
exactly,
in Tampa. But like you said, we have responsibilities to get to, right? But, and this is the best way we could do it and swing. So it.
Going forward, we will be recording Wednesday nights and having more updated on scores and all that fun stuff. But for week one, we had to kind of preempt the show. So, but that doesn't mean we don't have some things to talk about. We will get into our picks for the season in terms of individual awards and Stanley Cup champions. You probably could guess where we're going with those, but I guess stay tuned for who we think the Lightning are going to play and who the Avalanche are going to play in the Stanley Cup final. And then,
spoiler alert, they might be playing each other.
Hey now. And then, we were going to be doing segments from on the following Thursdays, mailbags. So if you follow Locked On NHL on Twitter, or you follow any show, really, if you follow my show on the Avalanche show or Adam with the Lightning, you'll see tweets going up on Ask Us Questions. So Thursday will be like the mailbag show, and then we'll always conclude it with us making some picks with our sponsor, betonline.ag. We're going to do that today too for Thursday's games, which would be today's games. Weird saying that, but, and the fun thing we're going to have about it is, like, I admittedly so suck at gambling. I'm like, you know, like Chris Farley trying to sell brake pads. Like, I suck at it. And you're good.
I like to think I'm good. I'm like Zach Galifianakis in The Hangover when he wins all the money back in blackjack. Right. Just like the equations and stuff. And
yes.
Just when I think I know what I'm doing, my team that I bet everything on the last parlay gets blown out. So
it's like golf. Like, you have a really good round of golf, and you're like, oh, nothing can stop me. And then for no reason, something terrible happens, and you get
cracked. Exactly.
So stay tuned for that, and we're gonna keep track. And my terribleness will probably shine through, but it'll be fun. So we are going to start. This news just dropped maybe an hour or so before a couple hours before we started recording, and that's Evander Kane filing for bankruptcy. What do you take of this? Apparently he's like $27 million in debt. I didn't because this is so fresh, I really didn't dive into and read any articles about it. The only thing that I saw was something that you mentioned to me before we started recording about houses that he owns. what do you know about this? What do you take out of this? This is odd.
I read a brief article when the news dropped out of The Athletic, sort of briefly saying what was going on. And in the release statement from Evander Kane's, I guess you could call it a statement, or it was actually in like the court documents for when his legal team did file for bankruptcy, was that it didn't explain the exact reasons, but it did detail that he does own three houses, which are, I believe, are, if I'm not mistaken, $10 million each.
That's crazy. If you're $10
million, which each, that's crazy. I have two questions. Now, one, why do you need three houses?
Right.
Two, if these houses are worth $10 million each, I need to see what these houses look like.
It, right.
That you are that much in depth that you need to file for bankruptcy. But yeah, just an unfortunate thing. And then on top of that, he did state that he might actually not play in this upcoming season just because of COVID concerns, because his wife just had recently a baby, which is understandably so. But it's kind of making that possible Jake Paul pay-per-view feud thing a little bit enticing to
I think it's a definite
Evander.
I think it's a definite. I mean, how much would he make doing that thing?
I would say at least 15 mil.
At least.
I mean, at least. I would say I would have to guess. I mean, I have no idea how much Jake Paul made last fight. But I would have to speculate. It is quite a lot of money for a guy like that to want to fight and put his health on the line. Granted, he was fighting Nate Robinson.
Right.
So, it would be a cool thing. It would make him some nice money, as well as, you know, kind of, I guess, keep him busy and sort of keep him on shape. I don't know as to how the Sharks would feel about that, him doing that after he said he can't play hockey for this upcoming season. So, just a weird headline to come out last couple hours. And then Mike Hoffman today signed with the Blues. What are you thinking about that contract? I totally forgot Mike Hoffman was on the market.
Me too.
$4 million for 1 year.
Really?
Not a bad addition at all to the Blues. So doesn't hurt to have some extra scoring while Tarasenko is still trying to come back from injury.
Well, Tarasenko is Tarasenkoing. Yes. I mean, for me, you know, they're in my division, so you know, yeah, like you said, they got a little bit extra scoring, so I didn't want it to happen. I don't know. Does it put them over the edge?
No,
but you know, having depth in this season is huge. So I think that's what he gives them.
Yeah, I don't think that it's the difference between winning a cup is it the difference between, you know, out leading Vegas? Maybe.
I could see that.
Interesting. Yeah. All right. But anyway, so yeah, moving on. That was the little news from that.
Pretty much, yeah. Gary Bettman came out, and I shot this over to you as soon as I saw it.
I was having a good day till then.
I feel like what I was trying to accomplish there worked. I was trying to, I was like, I think I just have a vibe that Adam's having a good day. How can I blow that up? Oh, Gary Bettman quote. And he came out and said, quote, "It would be cheaper for us to shut the doors and not play. Clubs are going to run through more money playing than not playing. But our owners are okay with that. Because they know how important it is for players and fans to play." I'm going to shut up and let you vent.
Well, I've had some time to think about this and really, you know, maybe take all the profanities out for, you know, I like to keep this show as G as possible. Yes. So what is he thinking? Like, why would you say this days before the season opener? I mean, you've already had enough controversy with the owners, and that whole thing that's going on that we're definitely gonna have to deal with when the next CBA comes up, because make no mistake, that whole drama is far from done. And just you're supposed to be the voice of this league. You're supposed to lead by example, and all you're doing is stirring the pot. I just don't understand what the thought process was. I get what he's saying as to why the owners, and maybe trying to endear them a little bit to the fans and saying, well, at the end of the day, the owners chose the great sport of hockey over their own selfish needs. That's not what this tells me. This tells me that you're going to make this a storyline for the entire season, which it already is going to be. I mean, I know, because the Lightning barely got over the cap to be cap eligible for this season. But really, why would you do that? You know, do you want to highlight the interesting divisions, these spectacular sponsorships that are in these divisions, and you know, really build a lot of excitement? Or do you want to have this cloud hang over the league for the entire year, saying, well, you know what, I'm curious, do you think he's meant any way about this, as to, you know, people should maybe be more thankful, or maybe this is a shot at the players, saying, you know, maybe you guys should give up some money in the future, because at least they chose to have a season? But it's like, they couldn't strike anyway, so I don't understand, like, what was the whole reason for this?
I don't know, and I think you're right about him, you know, the timing is bad, and now I think fans are always going to think, like, when are they just going to shut it down? When you know, once, you know, halfway through the season, if they're looking at financials, are they going to force Bettman to shut it down because they're losing too much money? That's question number one. Question number two is, like, I said that exact same thing back in December, that owners are going to have to be okay with losing money. And that it's no surprise that, you know, where's he say, they know how important it is, obviously being hockey, they know how important hockey is for players and fans to play. When has that not been the case? That's always been reality. Like, hockey players want to play hockey. Hockey fans want to watch hockey. So you knew that going into these negotiations, and you still tried to nickel and dime the players. So I don't know. Like, it just, they tried to do the owner thing. And on any other season, I would say, okay, that, I get it. The owners are going to do what they want, can do. The players are going to do what they can do. This year, I'm sorry. Like, I'm not the type of guy that I'm always, like, on the player side or on the owner side. I take the side of who I think is right going into any labor negotiation. This wasn't like a typical labor negotiation. And I think the owner should have just shut up from the beginning, say, thank you to the players for, you know, coming back to bubble hockey in the way that they did, and say, now what can we do to make this as seamless and easy as possible to get playing? Because if they had done that, we'd already be 3 weeks into the season, but they didn't do that.
It's very, yeah, I think you're as puzzled as I am about the timing of this.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, maybe sometimes less is more in this.
I mean, by him saying that, he's acknowledging that the owners, and I get it, the owners were trying to get money any way that they could, but they had time to do that before they sat down at the negotiating table. They didn't dicker with them until they sat down at the negotiating table, and then it prolonged it for longer. No. So I don't know. I think it's typical owner stuff, and I know you're saying, like, you know, this could hang over the league all year long. I just hope it doesn't. I hope that, you know, the play just puts all of this stuff behind us. And they started a little bit later than they really wanted to, and hopefully we'll have an enjoyable season.
Hopefully. I mean, I kind of just polish that off with a good note. At least we won't have to listen to Mike Milbury anymore on NBC Sports.
Thank God.
That was, if you talk about someone that was just constantly negative for the sake of being that guy.
Yeah.
Where it's one thing to be negative and have valid points. It was like, I was saying to somebody earlier today when the news broke, a player could have, like, hat trick before the first intermission, and he would be there in the studio. Like, I think it was really lagging on that first period. You know, it wasn't so much a scoring ability. I think it was really a breakdown in the back check. But, and it's just like, give the guy his due, yeah. Especially if it was a non-Bruins player, a rival, forget about it.
Yeah. Yeah, that'll be nice. So, all right, let's listen to or hear from our friends from betonline.ag, who we are going to utilize later on in the show. Adam's good at betting. I am not. So definitely stick around for that. But if you want to get on the action with betonline.ag, you can sign up for a free account right now. And if you use the promo code locked on, you get a 50% welcome bonus. So if you want to throw $100,000 into your account right off the bat, which I know we all have laying around, you know, you get an extra.
I know Evander Kane does. Yeah.
Somewhere in the bed sheets of the three. And then you get an extra 500K. Maybe Evander Kane is betonline.ag and trying to get his losses back that way. I hope not. That's the worst way to do it. Don't do that. No, just go box. Just go box.
Yeah.
So we have, well, are all the bowl games are kind of coming to an end. That those are done, but we still have NFL football and NFL playoffs. Who's your football team? I don't know if I
are you. I'm a Giant fan.
You're a Giant fan. Oh man. All right. So we won't get into that. But if the Giants were playing, you could put some scratch down on them.
I would, if you're not going to bet hockey, definitely, you know, we got a McGregor fight coming up in a couple of weeks.
Oh, really? See, I don't follow that stuff. So, yeah. Did you put some money down on that bad boy?
I'll throw a couple of nickels on the fight. See what comes back.
Couple C notes on that bad boy.
Couple of C notes.
Yeah. So like I said, go to betonline.ag, type in the promo code locked on, and your 50% welcome bonus is all yours. Betonline.ag. Follow them on social media as well at betonline_AG. Yeah. All right.
Love those guys.
Good stuff. Good stuff over there. All right. Well, we're going to take a quick little break, and then we come back. We're going to give you our player awards for the year. All right. We have awards to hand out, and you know that we're going to go, but you know, when the end of the year comes around, to see how we made out on this. So which ones are we doing here? We're doing the Hart, obviously.
The Ross, the Calder.
Where do you want to start?
Let's start. Let's go in alphabetical order of BetOnline AG's very useful side tab here. So why don't we start with the Art Ross Trophy? It looks like right now that Connor McDavid is the favorite at +275, and Leon Draisaitl is the second favorite with +500, and your boy Nathan MacKinnon is the third best odds at +600. I'm just going to say right now, and actually Steven Stamkos is tied for fourth, which is very interesting with Sid the Kid. I would probably, you know, my safe pick, and I'm not just saying this because of you, I just feel like just with the odds that he's been given across the board, and this will be a common theme with most of the awards that he is eligible for.
Mm-hmm.
Nathan MacKinnon, I love those odds at +600. I think he's actually moved up since then. When I checked these maybe a couple of weeks or so,
right?
He was a little farther down, but I think Nate, and we've spoken about this numerous times, and you know full well, I think McKinnon's gonna have a monster year. I'm thinking 45 goals in 56 games, possibly.
I could see that.
70 plus points, I think that's reasonable numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're really going to get something, maybe another guy who's possibly has a little bit, excuse me, less better odds, but, you know, maybe more in the hunt for it, I'd probably say Austin Matthews. I think this is really the year where, you know, he's had a couple of disappointing years up there in Toronto with this team. And, you know, they kind of have the pieces now. They were more of that team that was really getting bullied around, but now they've added Wayne Simmonds, Jumbo Joe, and now it's really Austin Matthews is time to really just carry this team and really go out there. So I think if you're really looking for good value, and a good return, I would have to say Austin Matthews is probably your best bet for the Art Ross Trophy. As if you would bet, if you put $40 down, you get $840 back right now on Austin Matthews if he wins.
Yeah. So if this was a regular season, regular divisions, I think you'd have to put the money on Connor McDavid to win this whole thing. You have to take into account the way the divisions are constructed this year. And Nathan MacKinnon is in the weakest division. He is going up against, you know, five teams that he can toy with at his leisure. Five teams, eight times each. So he's going to score a ton. And he's on a team that will, you know, just the team as it's constructed can score a ton. And because of that, I think he has the best shot that he might ever have. And, you know, if you want to put an asterisk next to it, it's go ahead, but it doesn't matter. In the end, I really think he's going to lead the league in scoring because of that reason. I think, you know, with McDavid and Draisaitl being in the Canadian division, they're going to beat up on each other. And not that, you know, points are going to be easy for McDavid because they are, he's a scorer. But I think MacKinnon going up against those teams multiple times, you're going to see him rip off, you know, some 4 or 5 point games like on the regular this year. Could happen. So I would have to agree with you on Nathan. Well, I don't know if, did you say Nathan MacKinnon? I don't know. You said a lot of words there, but I don't know if you said.
Well, I basically in summation said that, yes, Nathan MacKinnon, I think is probably your more sure bet. But if you're really looking for a bigger return,
yes,
and a guy who's really going to definitely make some noise for that award, Austin Matthews is your Hail Mary in this.
All right, who's up next?
We're doing the Calder, so no surprise here. Lafreniere is the favorite, actually tied for the best odds with Igor Shesterkin. Definitely,
yeah, I keep forgetting about him that he's a rookie. I keep forgetting.
Well, that's going to be the thing I think is going to surprise a lot of people. I mean, you're not the only one. I think, you know, obviously it's the Alexis Lafreniere show out there.
Yeah.
In New York. And then you have this great goalie who really, I mean, a lot of people probably don't think of him as a rookie just because he came in late last season.
Uh-huh.
And then you also have Krilly Kaprizov, I believe another Ranger, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. But the one thing, and I think I know who, I think you know who I'm going to pick.
Yes,
is my favorite for this is, and I have a new nickname for him now, Timmy Stud out of Ottawa, Tim Stutzel. The kid is absolutely electric. If you need any more evidence as to why this kid is in my opinion, underrated with his odds at plus 1200, look at the World Juniors. The guy, he's only, I believe, 18 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He played like a 15-year veteran out there, just body language. He passed the eye test and everything.
Yeah.
A $40 bet wins you $480 right now. So definitely take a pick at that. And then my second favorite pick is right behind him at plus 1600 is Alex Turcotte. I like this kid a lot too. I think he has a lot of upside. And hey, listen, $40 risk gets you $640 back. So
what do you think? I mean, everybody was falling in love with Trevor Zegras on the World Juniors. And I mean, do you think that translate into a solid rookie season in the NHL?
From what I've heard, I mean, if I didn't hear this, what I'm about to say, maybe I would think differently. But from what I heard, he's not going to be up right away.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, I feel like if he even comes in maybe a month or I would say probably 2 months is the cutoff.
Yep.
And then obviously the odds are going to change by then once he's in the league. I think once he's officially on an NHL roster, we're talking, you know, the odds being flipped and he'll probably be up there with Lafreniere. But really, I think that if I think he's going to be behind in stats, then again, if he comes up and averages a goal, right? a goal and a half a game, then I mean, go ahead, throw your money on him. But I don't see him getting a lot of playing time this year because Anaheim's in no rush to win right now. So why are they going to rush this kid up right away?
Yeah, that's true. For me, I've been riding the Quentin Byfield train for a while now. So I got to stick with him. Looked really good in spots in the juniors, and others kind of disappeared a little bit. But I think once he gets a handle on the NHL game, I think, I don't know. I just love the guy's size. He's just a rock. So I don't know.
He's a monster.
Yeah.
Absolute monster.
Might be a little bit of a long shot. I mean, actually, he has better odds than your boy, Timmy Stubb. Yeah. But which I would reverse that, in my opinion. But I don't know. I just like how Byfield plays. So that'll be my my pick for Calder.
Yeah, and keep in mind to our listeners, you know, if you like any of these odds right now, just, you know, keep in mind that they will change over the course of the season. So if you hear something you like, which I'm sure you will, be sure to capitalize on it now. So moving on to the Hart Memorial Trophy. Kind of the same conversation we had for the Art Ross, of course. Mm-hmm. Connor McDavid's actually the favorite over Nathan MacKinnon.
Mm-hmm.
I really like, I think that McDavid, MacKinnon, it's pretty much a toss up. I mean, it's to a certain degree, the same kind of, you need to have the same kind of stats and season as you would for the Art Ross to win this award most times.
Right.
But I do like Braden Point at plus 1200. I just think that, you know, even though, yes, he is a Lightning player, I think that he is he's a superstar now, and he's going to have to carry a lot more of the workload for this team, for the Lightning offensively, with the absence of Nikita Kucherov, and especially with the most likely injury time that Steven Stamkos will be having from time to time. It's unfortunate, but it's just the way it is with Stamkos and what Lightning fans and hockey fans have come to expect now. But and then once again, the other guy I really like with these odds is Austin Matthews at plus 1400. Like I said, I think he's another guy, just like Point, it's going to be on him this year for the team to really be successful. Of course, he has a little bit, you know, he does have help as well as Point does. He has, you know, John Tavares, he has Mitch Marner.
Right.
So he does have just as many weapons. A $40 bet on Austin Matthews for the Hart Memorial Trophy wins you $560. So definitely some good odds there. Are you set on Nathan MacKinnon? Do you feel I feel like, to a certain degree, now from a non-betting degree, I feel like MacKinnon is kind of a, everything that you've told me, you've completely sold me on Nathan MacKinnon to just absolutely dominate this year.
Right.
Especially with all his training camp videos and just the offseason stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you not?
Yeah. And I think, you know, for MacKinnon anyway, I think this year could be that sympathy vote for him, unfortunately, which I just feel like people know, like, it's almost like, you know, Leonardo DiCaprio not winning like best actor at the Oscar. It's like, he deserves it by now, freaking give it to him already. And I think that could be if Nathan MacKinnon just goes out and has a typical Nathan MacKinnon season, I think he wins it. I do. I think and you know, being in that division, I don't think voters are going to be like, well, he was in the weakest division. I don't think that is going to be in the conversation at all. So yeah, I think he has really good odds to do it. It's, you know, you're always going to, as long as these two guys are in the league, McDavid and MacKinnon are probably going to be at the very top for Hart Trophy. So will Draisaitl, so will Panarin. A guy a little bit down the list that I think might take a step up and maybe some votes away. I like Pettersson this year.
Yeah,
I do. You know, he's a tough player to play against. So I think he's primed for a really good season. So that's who I would say kind of, he's not that far down the list of on Hart, but someone maybe in that lower end of like the top 10, I would go with him.
And the one guy, if, you know, maybe for our listeners who haven't really, you know, nothing sticks out to them, the one sleeper, if I had to name a sleeper for, you know, Ross and especially the Hart, mm-hmm. is, and every time I see his name on the list, and I, you know, I put, you know, I just think about it, is Jack Eichel. I just feel like having Taylor Hall is going to alleviate some of the pressure that he has had in years past. And it's really going to open up his game to what extent, I'm not entirely sure, but you know, at plus 2000, put a $40 down, you get 800 back.
Right.
I mean, I see why not, you know, if he doesn't, he doesn't. But I just think that if you look at all these players, I mean, on the list with him, he's tied with Steven Stamkos right there and on the list, as well as, you know, Malkin's right behind him, Patrick Kane, Pastrnak. If looking at all those other guys, they've kind of had their time in the sun. You know, I think Crosby will get the Ross before, you know, Malkin does now, if anything.
You know what I want to know is, when is Carter Hart going to win the Hart? Because he spells it the same way. And it's almost like you kind of have to give it to some guy who spells the trophy or his last name the same as the trophy. So,
well, you just made the point about sympathy votes. And I would have to imagine at some point, because, you know, he's not done developing, I would imagine he's going to get a sympathy nod at one point if he does have a very good season.
Oh, it's going to happen.
It's a foregone conclusion.
Absolutely.
You heard it here first.
Absolutely.
We got the inside. All right. So moving on to the Norris Memorial Trophy. In my opinion, this is probably a four horse race, regardless of the odds. It's Hedman, Yossi, Carlson, Makar, Dougie Hamilton. Hedman is the favorite. Yossi, the reigning Norris Trophy winner, and John Carlson, who was the favorite, believe it or not, going in last year. And then your guy, Cal Makar, and Dougie Hamilton, at plus 1000. And I, like I said, I think this is a four horse race. I don't look at really Roman Yossi having, you know, really that much consideration this year. I think last year was more of a sympathy nod just for, hey, great career.
Yeah.
I think this comes down to Hedman, Carlson, Hamilton, and Makar. I think that really, if I had to pick the two favorites, it's Hedman and Makar. I just think that they have the most tools and weapons around them to really be successful. I'm actually surprised that Quinn Hughes isn't higher up the list.
Yeah, that is a little surprising. And right behind him, same odds, I guess, Seth Jones, who I love. I've always loved Seth Jones. And I really think Miro Heiskanen is a fantastic defender.
Yes.
And I think he could make some noise this year. So I you know, Hedman is I think top of the class. And then I do think it goes Carlson and Makar. I would put Heiskanen up there right after Makar. I don't know why. I think like he's going to have a good year. Maybe that'd be, that's not like a dark horse or anything like that, but I think everybody is putting their money down on Hedman, Yossi, Carlson, Makar, like you said, like that top four, but watch out for Heiskanen.
One guy that I do like, cause I think we'll do this going forward, is that we'll kind of do our favorites as to who we like. And then I guess we could pick one dark horse if you want, or I could just do it. One guy I do like that I just love how he plays the game. I just think as he progresses in the game of hockey, I think that he will.
Is that PK Subban?
I think it's going to be Ivan Provorov. You know, I like him at plus 3,300. $40 bet brings you back $1,300.
Oh, I could take that actually.
If he pulls it. I think if the Flyers have a good season, that coupled with, because remember, when you're putting in these bets, this isn't your stereotypical NHL season, so anything could happen,
right?
You know, it's not the same all 3-4 guys that are favorite every year. I mean, for all we know, you know, knock on wood, Victor Hedman gets out first. He's out for the season, first game of the season, which obviously, you know, that will be a whole show on Locked On Lightning for itself. But really what I'm trying to get to is, you know, we could definitely see a bunch of dark horses making some noise at the bottom of these lists.
Sure.
I guess another guy, if I really wanted to, to just, you know, maybe throw out some names. Taz Mizdat, Tony D'Angelo. He's more likely to get his Twitter page back, actually. But Rasmus Dahlin from Buffalo. I love this kid. High draft pick a couple of years back. He's another one that I think a lot of people are looking to see how his game progresses this season. $40 gets you a grand back if you win. So good odds to where, you know, you're not putting a lot down, but you're getting a lot in return. You don't need to risk a lot to, and that's the thing I think really a lot of people should take into consideration when they're doing these futures, because you don't want to spend half your bank, you know, right off a future when you're betting games on a nightly basis.
Right. And what do we got? One more with the Vezina?
Yes, we got the Vezina.
Your boy stands above everybody, dude. I know Hellebuck is good. People are expecting a lot out of Leonard from, you know, Vegas being the guy this year. You know, Binnington's a great goalie. People are still high on Carey Price. I'm not so much. I just think Vasilevskiy is like he is this generation's Lundqvist, in my opinion.
I think he's as sure as a thing when you're betting as you could get. I don't, you know, odds or not. I mean, yeah, he does have he's tied with Hellebuck for the best odds, but I mean, you said it, he is leagues above all the goalies. Now, granted, yes, Hellebuck is the reigning Vezina Trophy winner, but that's a whole different situation there. And I think after the I guess backlash, if you want to call it, when Hellebuck won, yes, he was very deserving of the award. But what Vasilevskiy did after that, you know, in the playoffs, what he did, and just, you know, I mean, he is just so dominant. I mean, I would go a step further to say he's like Patrick Waugh or like whoever, you know, the Hasek, or, you know, whoever the, you know, you want to pick out of all the yearly Vezina Trophy winners. If I have to pick a dark horse, which it's hard in this situation just because of just how confident I think we both are on Vasilevskiy winning this thing. If I had to pick just for the sake of content alone, Carter Hart. I like his odds as well. $40 down, 560 back.
Yep.
And it's not out of the realm of possibility. He has a very good team around him. Yeah. He has a good defensive core in front of him.
Yep.
I see, you know, if somehow the Flyers end up at the top of the Eastern Conference or division, whatever you want to call it, or the Mass Mutual division, which they can very well do because the Boston Bruins aren't exactly scary this year. I think the really only scary team in the East would probably be New York. And when I say New York, I mean the Rangers. And then I guess Pittsburgh, just because
you're missing one, and you're going to hear about it in the final segment. You're missing one.
Oh man, who am I missing? Now you're making me self-conscious. I don't know. Tell me right now.
Philly.
Yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
If Philly plays, yeah. Other than that, I think if
oh, because I thought you said you went right to the Rangers. I didn't hear.
No.
Okay,
I'm sorry. Well, I was saying I think the only other team other than Philly who is scary, and because I feel like if Philly wins the division this year,
right,
and Carter Hart is a big factor in that, he's winning the Vezina.
Okay.
I think
I misunderstood what you were saying. Okay. All right. Gotcha.
So I think really this is more of a bet that you have to kind of wait and see to make, where you can potentially hurt yourself and the odds could, you know, not be as tasty as they would right now in this moment.
I agree with that. I do. I think Philly has a really good team, and I think, you know, Hart being in goal for them,